This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Communists have not changed because they haven't changed their foundational truths. We'll talk about that. Senator Marsha Blackburn is here with the big update on Arctic frost. All that and so much more coming up on I'm Right. Let's talk about something that we've discussed in different ways before, but we have to understand something about our enemy and ourselves. We have to understand foundational truths. What does that mean? What are foundational truths? Well, I've used this example because it's a true example. There is a skyscraper, I believe it's in San Francisco, if memory serves, that it's fancy, one of those fancy apartment skyscrapers where rich people live, you know, doorman, providing security, that kind of thing. Well, it's leaning. Windows are blowing out. Big problem. Why? Now, this is the place where rich people live. They spend a fortune on it, on the building and the drywall and the painting and the decor. Everything should be perfect, except the foundation. They didn't drill down all the way down to the bedrock like they normally do, 200 feet below ground. I believe they stopped at around 60 feet, and now it's leaning. The foundation, when it comes to anything, when it comes to political ideologies, religion, a skyscraper in San Francisco, the foundation has to be there or the rest of it will falter. So we all have foundational things. We all have foundational truths, if you will, about the things we believe in life. And then everything else gets built on top of that, right? Not that that other stuff isn't important, but the other stuff is completely unimportant if we don't get the foundation right. Now, we have to understand foundational truths of communists to understand where we are in this cultural war with these people. So we're going to focus on American communists. Although this really is a common strain throughout all the countries that have had to fight this cultural war with communists. Communists believe, to their core, they believe that there are oppressed people and there are oppressors. Now, hold on, it's more than that. It's not just that the oppressed people have actually been oppressed, every one of them. And it's not just that the oppressors have actually done any oppressing at all. No, none at all. No. They group up people in various ways. In America, they do it by race a lot. That's also very common in communist countries. But in America, it's big. Race is a big thing. And it's just simply something that is part of the foundation of everything they believe about life. Everything. Politics, their job, everything. It guides everything. If you are a non-white, certainly a non-white male of any kind, you are oppressed. You have been oppressed, and even if you haven't been, your mom was, right? Well, okay, even if your mom wasn't, well, surely your grandpa was. Okay, but anybody, somewhere down the line, someone was oppressed. You've been wronged. Now, the oppressor, white people, the white man, he's evil. Look, even if he's not individually evil, his people certainly are. His tribe is. He's been oppressing these people for a long time. And so, in order for justice to happen, again, this is very sick, but you have to understand this is how the communist thinks. For justice to happen, these people, they have to be given essentially a get-out-of-jail-free card. They cannot be punished. They should be given large quantities of the public treasury. The law itself should work exclusively for them. This is to make things equal. These people, white people, they have to be punished. They have to be punished for all the historical injustice. Now, you understand these basic things, but what is so, so important for you to get is that hasn't changed in the minds of the communists because they lost in November. That is a bedrock foundational truth for them. And for so many of them, everything else they do, everything else they play out in their minds, all of it is based off of that foundational truth. They're building their skyscraper of life on top of that foundational truth. These people have been oppressed. These people did the oppressing. These people should be given everything. These people should be punished beyond belief. I'll play for you something maybe you've seen by now. It was a judge in Kentucky, a DEI hire. She had a man sitting in her courtroom. I made the mistake this morning of actually looking into the details of the crime, rape and kidnapping, but don't look into it, trust me. This person is a monster, an animal, not even a human being. If you read, you'll understand what I mean. Listen to how it went in court.
But Judge Davis thought the jury's recommendation was too long. She feels he hasn't mentally matured yet and never had a real shot at getting any help early in life.
But if you were to come in here and instead of being hurt and angry, which is what this court hears, right, as a 20-year-old African-American male that has been, you know, experienced this society, et cetera, and you would show that, yes, okay, this is the situation. This is who I am. I don't want to be this person anymore. I don't want to be in jail forever.
Thompson repeatedly stated he did not care, not about his sentence, the victim, or her family. But Judge Davis emphasized she's the one that holds the pen, and regardless of what the media may think, she applies the law. To her, 65 years was an extremely long time. As she puts it, it's his whole life, one she doesn't believe should be spent entirely behind bars.
The revealing moment was, she doesn't care. She applies the law. Well, she's being honest. No, not the laws if it's written, not the laws of Kentucky or laws of America or anything like that. She doesn't care about the victim. She doesn't care about the accuser. What she cares about is that foundational truth she believes. If you are part of the oppressed class, society, the law itself, everything should work exclusively on your behalf. And she will do everything for the rest of her career. As long as she's wearing those judge's robes, everything will come from that foundational truth she believes. They're not sorry. Do you remember the conga line of freaks the Biden administration brought into the White House, from Dick Levine to Linda Fagan?
Hello, I'm Admiral Rachel Levine. Climate change is having a disproportionate effect on the physical and mental health of Black communities. Black Americans are more likely than white Americans to live in areas and housing that increase their susceptibility to climate-related health issues. And 65% of Black Americans report feeling anxious about climate change's impact. Through our Office of Climate Change and Health Equity, and the Office of Environmental Justice, we're working with providers and community leaders to identify innovative approaches that empower communities to address the health consequences linked to climate change.
We currently have nearly 40% women enrolled at the Coast Guard Academy. I'm really excited about the talent and the diversity that I see coming through the academy. My daughter is in the Coast Guard as a lieutenant, and there is just nothing but opportunity for her and all of the men and women that have joined the service. I'm really excited about the future as we look ahead.
Oh, you can scream, and maybe you are if you're a normal person who understands the benefit of merit and things like that, that you can scream at Dick Levine all day long. What does that have to do with anything? That's crazy. What are you talking about? You can scream at Linda Fagan. What difference does it make? How many women are joining? How does that help the Coast Guard? This doesn't help. But you're wasting your breath. For Linda Fagan, that's a foundational truth. The foundational truth is men must be eliminated and run out of society, and everything, even really important things like the Coast Guard, has to be filled up with women and lesbians. That's what she believes. It's a foundational truth. You can beat your head against the wall all you want. You can fire her. You can yell at her about it. She's never going to change that foundational truth. There are the oppressors and there are the oppressed. It's why, look, the Trump administration is doing wonderful things as far as trying to crack down on DEI madness all over the country that consume this country. They're doing the right thing, so I'm not complaining about that. But we also have to understand that the people who've been pushing this, the people who've been driving this, the people who've been benefiting from it, certainly benefiting from it financially, achieving stature in society, none of them are sorry, and none of them intend to change course. Credit to Accuracy and Media on this one. This is the University of Kentucky.
Most of our faculty are pretty progressive. We can't actually use those words because, you know, people are dumb.
Even if it's not explicitly said, because it's like one of those like, things that, yeah, but you know. But it's like, it's there and it's an important like part. It's an important part of the curriculum. And I mean, if you look at the syllabuses, especially, it's there.
Yeah, okay.
Because people, you have to teach these things.
Again, credit to Accuracy and Media. Here's NC State.
A little more rich than
gotcha.
But
okay.
We have now, we were under OID, so the Office of Institute of Equity and Diversity, which no longer exists now because they're not allowed to exist.
Okay.
Yeah, so it used to be that every UNC system school was mandatory for them to have a chief diversity officer, and then that chief diversity officer ran a, like, diversity office.
Yeah.
But you're now not allowed.
All the way. So it sounds like a lot of flip-flopping.
And that was like 11, not the chief diversity officer came about 11 years ago. That was like when it opened.
Yeah, okay.
And now they're ending it because of it's reversing that policy.
Oh.
And then, wow. It's reversing the policy, but still, we move.
Yeah.
We do this.
Get creative.
Exactly. We're still able to do the things that we want to do, have these events and programs. We have to be a little more careful.
But still, we move. We just have to be a little bit more careful. I want to actually give credit. You've probably already seen this. Texas has this disgusting legislator who should be denaturalized and deported, who's, of course, born in China. His name is Gene Wu. But I want to give credit to Gene Wu, because Gene Wu is also unbelievably stupid, and he's so stupid that he came out and, in his own dirty communist words, Gene Wu explained exactly what I've just spent the last 10 minutes explaining to you about how the law should work, how society should work, and how they intend to use the power they have. Here's Gene Wu on tribalism.
I always tell people the day the Latino, African American, Asian, and other communities realize that they share the same oppressor is the day we start winning. Because we are the majority in this country now. We have the ability to take over this country and to do what is needed for everyone and to make things fair.
They'll tell you. They haven't changed their ways. They haven't changed that foundational way of thinking. Therefore, we are in the exact same situation we have been in. They must be defeated. You will not come to a reasonable negotiation with these people because they're not interested in negotiating with you. They're interested in something evil, destructive, and demonic, and that will, of course, be violent in the end. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have so many things to talk about. We're going to check in on California. Gavin Newsom, how's all this tax stuff going out there? Before we check in with that, let me check in with you on your gut health. We just had Super Bowl Sunday. Did you go a little crazy with the queso? I don't blame you. I did too. How'd your belly feel that night? The next day? Been enjoying that heartburn? You know, I used to have heartburn. I haven't had it in ages. I don't get upset stomachs anymore. Started happening as I got older. Not anymore. I got some advice from my sister, actually. Credit to her. About cowboy colostrum. This was last summer. I didn't even know what colostrum was. And you know I don't know anything about that stuff. I never even heard of it. So she starts telling me about it. And I think, okay, that maybe it'll work. And then I got worried, well, what if it's gross? It's delicious. I have the chocolate. They have vanilla. They have strawberry. I put 2 scoops of it in my coffee every morning. I have chocolate coffee. No more problems for me. None. Go find out what I'm talking about. CowboyColostrum.com. Code JesseTV. We'll be back.
I mean, what more evidence do we need? It's a stacking of all of these things. He is not screwing around. He tried to light democracy on fire when he lost the election, tried to light it on fire, tried to destroy this democracy. He's trying to ruin our republic. He's trying to torch it. What more evidence do we need on a day-to-day basis? All of this is part of that same narrative, that same threat. It's tragic what's happening. A 5-year-old angelic young boy used as leverage and collateral. This madness, masked men, not even identifying themselves, no warrants, terrorizing communities. People dying, quite literally now dying. We said people will die. People are dying in the United States of America. And what is the threat today, to your question? Well, do what we legally can't do, or we'll continue to illegally do what we've been doing by terrorizing your community.
He's so sleazy, but I'm so biased. He just comes off to me as so greasy and sleazy. I'm not even talking about his hair. Joining me now, Christina Hildebrand, founder and president of A Voice for Choice Advocacy. Christina, it's just so gross to me that that guy's got a shot at the presidency. I can't believe he runs our biggest state.
He's going for it.
It shocks me.
Yep. He's planning on running, I'm 99% sure. So it's all, right now, it's all playing to that and playing to anti-Trump, you know, the anti-Trump rhetoric that he thinks people want to hear.
Yeah, how's he doing running California?
So our organization really looks at it from a medical freedom MAHA sort of lens, and from that lens, I would not say very good. We've made some, you know, huge strides from the U.S. perspective, from the federal perspective, with Bobby Kennedy and Trump and other people that, you know, President Trump has brought in. And we've made strides in food. We've made strides in vaccine area, you know, really looking at the science and ensuring that people are being given the correct information and good scientific information. Here in California, we have kept with the vaccine schedule. There was a bill that was passed in September last year, 3 days before the end of the session, that basically removed any reference to the CDC or the American Committee on Immunization Practices from our statute in California and replaced it with the Department of Public Health. So the Department of Public Health runs our vaccine policy currently. California also joined with Washington, Oregon, Hawaii, Nevada to create the West Coast Health Alliance, and they are banded together to really say what public health policy is on the West Coast. There's one of those on the East Coast as well. And then finally, you know, the U.S. Trump removed us from the World Health Organization fully and all of the committees, and California has gone, and it's not become a part of the World Health Organization, but it did join the World Health Organization's Global Outbreak Alert and Response Network, which is GORAN, which really looks at public health and disease response when it comes to pandemics and cross-border potential threats. And so, you know, California has really sort of dug their heels in from a medical perspective, which is what, you know, our organization looks at, has really dug their heels in and is saying we are sticking with what was prior to President Trump's administration.
Now, can you help me understand this mentality, Christina? Why dig your heels in on something like this? Look, you tell me California is going to disagree with Trump on immigration or taxes or something. Okay, I'm not surprised, but why fight tooth and nail to the point of creating a West Coast alliance for something like this? I don't understand.
I think it's, you know, I mean, you look at the pandemic and how the pandemic was administered differently in Republican states versus Democrat states. I mean, we still have people driving around in their masks alone in the car in California. And so I think it's just a very different mentality. It's this mentality of the pharmaceutical industry really runs those corporations. You know, California has said that they are sticking with the American Academy of Pediatrics vaccine schedule, which is basically the same vaccine schedule that we've had for the past, you know, however many, 20, 30, 40 years. And it really is, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics is funded by Merck, by Eli Lilly, by Pfizer, by all the pharmaceutical companies. And so, it, you know, when you look at the lobbying, when you look at the money going into those organizations, that's where it's coming from. And that's what California is basically, you know, sticking with.
So it's just in the end about money. Speaking of about money, I want to play this clip of Gavin Newsom talking about his COVID policies. Here was.
This is from Joe Rogan.
Oh, God.
This is a tough one.
He won't have me on the show, by the way.
Who will be held accountable for mandating COVID-19 vaccines for children, which were unnecessary and ineffective? And who will take responsibility for the unprecedented increases in myocarditis and cancer cases among them? Second to that, do you feel any remorse for that draconian decision that was obviously heavily influenced by the pharmaceutical company's desire for maximum profit?
Yeah, I mean, I've signed some of the most progressive laws against big pharma in the country, so I have receipts on that. So no one should suggest that it was about doing the bidding of big pharma, quite the contrary. And I know everyone's a genius now in hindsight, but at the time, none of us knew what we were up against, including the President of the United States, who I worked very closely with. There wasn't a Democratic governor in America that worked closer during the pandemic than I did with Donald Trump.
It's always laughable because
for what he did.
Well, I mean, what he's saying is laughable because California has kept the COVID vaccine on the schedule, recommended schedule for children, for healthy children, for healthy adults, for everyone from age 6 months and up. It's recommended here in California. So, you know, him saying that, why would you keep it on? It's been shown not to have any benefit in healthy children. And, you know, California recommends it. So it is, you know, I just laugh at it because if it's not for the pharmaceutical industry, what is it for, is the question. You know, I don't understand the motivation.
Tell me about your governor's race. Do you have a feel for that right now? I keep seeing these polls out that show Republicans in the lead. Sorry, but for somebody
exciting.
Outside of California, that sounds beyond belief. Can you explain?
Yeah, I think the biggest piece here is what you have to remember is that California voted by general ballot initiative to have a top two race. So what that means in most states, you have the top two party races. So the top person from the Democrats and the top person from the Republicans or whatever the top two parties are in your state, but it's usually Democrats and Republicans, is that you would have one person from each of those, even if two Democrats got the highest two votes. Here in California, it is the top two people that go into the general election. So we can have two Democrats or we can have two Republicans in a race and in the general election. And so it's actually exciting at this point because the Democrat governor participant, the people that are on the ballot currently, there are so many Democrats that are splitting the vote, but there are only two Republicans currently on the ballot. And so we have 40% Republicans in California. So even if you split them two ways, you've got 20% each. If you split, then let's say 10 Democrats, I don't know how many are on the ballot currently, but let's say you have 10 Democrats that have the rest of the 60%, if you split them evenly, they won't be even. But, you know, the most you can get, you're sort of splitting the vote much more. And so we actually have two Republicans that are in the top two places because of this top two vote. So we could go into the general election with two Republicans on the ballot, which would be amazing. I mean, it would be incredible. It would be the one time where I appreciate this system working. Every other time I don't, because it's usually two Democrats that are on the top of the ticket.
Best of luck to you. Christina, thank you. All right. The state of Missouri, I just marvel at it, because when I tell you about red states, or I think about red states, I don't think about Missouri. Missouri is like blood red. The attorney generals, and I know it's attorneys general, that sounds stupid. The attorney generals they have are awesome. We have their newest one in a moment. Before we talk to her, I want to talk to you about, do you own a home? Do you have a mortgage? Now, let me ask you this. Do you have high interest debt? Just talking to a friend about this last night. He's dealing with one of his cousins who's, I think he has $15,000 or something like that in debt where he's paying 30%. Is that you? Maybe you got 50. You know you need to get a hold of American Financing. American Financing, they're there because they have a way to get you out. We have mortgage rates in the low fives right now, a three-year low. If you don't reach out, they can't help you. And by the way, maybe they don't have a plan that you like. You don't know unless you reach out. You're going to sit there and keep getting sticker shocked by the bills every month? Reach out and find out what they can do. AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse, or maybe you're a phone person, call them 866-891-2821. We'll be back. You didn't know illegals counted for the census, did you? At least not until recently, but they do. Now, that's a bonkers thing to have happen, but so let's connect these two things. Illegals count in the census. Democrats took over the White House in 2020 and promptly brought in as many foreigners as humanly possible. Now, what motivation could they have for that? Well, credit to Yvette Clark for being the one dumb enough to say it on camera. Here she was.
I'm from Brooklyn, New York. We have a diaspora that can absorb a significant number of these migrants. And when I hear colleagues talk about, the doors of the inn being closed, no room in the inn, I'm saying, I need more people in my district, but just for redistricting purposes. And those members could clearly fit here.
Joining me now, somebody with huge shoes to fill, given her two predecessors. I mean, Andrew Bailey, Eric Schmidt are about as good as it gets, and I hear wonderful things about Catherine Hanaway, the new AG of Missouri. Catherine, it's all about power and control for these people. They don't care about the country. They don't care about the culture. They just want power. It's kind of gross.
It is amazing, and that clip you just played is absolutely amazing, Jesse. Thanks so much for having me on. And it is all about power and control. They let people into the United States of America to better themselves, and they didn't care what the impact was on anyone else. We've seen that time and time again. They've let in criminals, they've let in gang members. And why? Well, we just heard. So that they can have more seats in Congress, more electoral votes, and more federal program money flow to the states that they care about, like New York and California. So we're going to try and fix that.
How do we fix that?
So we filed a lawsuit in the Eastern District of Missouri. And in that lawsuit, we allege that, we lay out the facts. And the facts are that illegal immigrants should not count in the United States Census. And they didn't count. Illegals weren't counted until Jimmy Carter became president. And when Jimmy Carter became president, one more thing we have to thank Jimmy Carter for.
Yeah.
When he became president, he started counting them for the first time. As a result, they've been counted ever since, until Trump was president the first time. And then at that point, he tried to stop counting them. And of course, as soon as Joe Biden came in, he reversed it right away. So that's why we filed a lawsuit. I'm pretty confident that the Census Bureau under Donald Trump would not count illegal aliens. But what's going to happen as soon as we get a new president is they'll start being counted again. So we want the courts to weigh in and to make it the law of the land that illegal immigrants can never be counted for the purposes of apportioning U.S. Congress seats, electoral votes, or federal program dollars.
Okay, where does this go from here? Because this is such an issue I'm passionate about. The census is so boring. Even political people don't care about it, but it really is so huge when it comes to politics in the country. Where does it go from here? Is this going to be on Clarence Thomas's desk tomorrow? Where does it go?
So it's not going to be on Clarence Thomas's desk tomorrow, but it's going to get there. We're going to push as hard as we can for this to be an expedited process. And it is a very different process than other court cases. In a normal case, you'd have one judge and maybe a jury. In this case, you have three judges, two from the district court, which is the lowest level court, and one from the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, which obviously is the Court of Appeals. In a normal case, after you get done at the district court, you would go up to the circuit court. And excuse me, I'm really sorry. I've got kind of a bad cold while I'm being on here with you, and it's such a pleasure to
be here. Fine.
From
You're
the
fine.
Circuit court, you go up to the U.S. Supreme Court. But in this case, you go directly from the three-judge panel to the U.S. Supreme Court. So we're optimistic that we're going to get a decision in time for the next presidential election. But honestly, we're pushing hard to try and get a decision this year. I don't know that it's going to happen. And what people need to understand, you know, you said a lot of people don't care about the census. Here's why they should care. They should care because as many as 14, somewhere between 11 and 14 congressional seats will move from places like California and New York to places like Missouri and Tennessee. This is critical for who has power in this country. It could change the balance of power in the U.S. Congress. It could change the Electoral College, because for every congressional seat, there's one electoral vote. In addition to that, it's hundreds of millions of dollars of federal programs. And imagine if we take all those programs away from illegal immigrants, if we take them away from California and New York, what's going to happen? The people in those states are going to start to rise up and say, why are we a sanctuary state? Why are we letting all these people in that don't get to go to other states? Why are we the ones who have to carry the burden for these people who've come illegally into the country?
Fingers crossed. Thank you for doing it. All right, now let's move on and talk about something else that's been happening in this country, the mutilation of children, of everybody, but of children under some sick ideology that came about 5 minutes ago. I don't understand it. Just makes me feel old. Can you explain what you're doing with this transgender stuff?
Yeah, so it makes me feel old and like I don't understand our country, and I don't understand parents who would put their kids through this.
Oh.
Thankfully, Missouri passed a law called the SAFE Act, S-A-F-E, and it is to prevent kids from ever being mutilated again in Missouri. It makes it illegal to perform transgender therapy, to give to a kid a sex change. And no matter what their parents get sort of manipulated into, no matter what the people who, we have so many great educators in this country, but unfortunately we have a few who've bought into this ideology and preach it in schools. And in Missouri, we've drawn a hard line. It's gone all the way up to the Missouri Supreme Court, and we have successfully defended that law.
When did Missouri get so red? Just never thought of it as such a red state, and you just keep churning out stars in that state. How did that happen?
Well, Jesse, I'm going to maybe brag just a little bit. I used to be in the Missouri House of Representatives, and when I first started serving, we were the minority party. And in 2002, I became the first Republican speaker in 50 years. And that was the beginning of a long, slow march. We still were electing Democrat statewide office holders at that point. But I would say that probably Barack Obama's first race in 2008 made a huge difference in Missouri, and it's just been getting more and more red ever since. But you're right. I'm really lucky that I had Andrew Bailey, Eric Schmidt, and Josh Hawley as my three immediate predecessors, because there's so much talent in my office. They went out and recruited the very best. And obviously, you don't work on these big cases by yourself. You got to have a great team.
How about that? Well, I'm rooting for you. You're welcome here anytime, and I don't say that to many people. I appreciate you. Come back. All right, Tennessee, I love it. Marsha Blackburn is a senator from that state. What is happening in Tennessee in the federal government? What is happening more specifically with Arctic Frost, weaponization of government against us? We'll talk to the senator about that in a moment. Before we talk about that, let me brag about me. It's like my favorite thing to do in the world. We had a party in our neighborhood on Sunday, a Super Bowl party. I watched for a half, and then I went home because I was bored. But I went over, and they, of course, one of my buddies, had made a smoked queso. You ever had smoked queso? Oh, it's been phenomenal. And he made this big vat of smoked queso. Well, you know what I brought with me? because I didn't want to feel all gross and bad about myself, I brought Master Chips with me. The problem is I brought one bag of Master Chips with me. I got a little bit of crap from my buddies when I walked in. Oh, you brought healthy chips. What's happened to you? And then they had one bite of it, and they have that crunch, and it's a better flavor. They're just better. They had that crunch, and my Master Chips were gone in like 5 minutes. Join me. There's a better way to snack. There's a better chip. It tastes better. It's better for you. No seed oil filth. MassaChips.com/JesseTV gets you a big discount. We'll be back.
Jack Smith violated his oath of office. He trampled on Americans' rights that are enshrined in the Constitution, all for one reason: to go after President Donald Trump and conservatives across this great nation. With the Biden DOJ's approval, Jack Smith issued 197 subpoenas to over 430 conservative organizations and individuals. That was the length that he went to go after President Trump. Jack Smith took a page out of the old Russian playbook by saying, "Give me the man and I will give you the case against him." In this case, the man was President Trump and hundreds of conservative Americans who supported him.
I'm glad someone's all over this. Joining me now, great senator from the state of Tennessee, Senator Marsha Blackburn, although she's leaving. She's going to go be the governor now, which I guess is probably more important. All right, Senator, before we get to all that, I know this is just the start of this Jack Smith stuff.
Right.
What are you looking for here?
What we want to do is to unravel why and how the DOJ, the Biden DOJ, became weaponized against President Trump and then against members of Congress and also against 430 individuals and conservative groups. And Jesse, what we know is that he subpoenaed the toll records, which is every phone call we made or received, where we were located, when we made or received the call, who it went to, and where they were physically located at the time they made or received the call. It also gives them the amount of time we were on that phone call. That's called the toll records. What we do not know is if they also came back after content and what was said on calls, what was placed in emails, what was placed in text messages.
Okay, this sounds criminal. When you lay things out like this, it sounds criminal that anybody in any role can just go do these things. But there are some weird laws in this country and weird rules. Is it criminal?
Indeed, we think it is criminal because it not only is a violation of our privacy rights, but for members of Congress, it's a violation of our speech and debate clause to be able to talk with people, to make a decision on voting for a measure or what we will do as we support different policies and concepts. It's also a violation of the Stored Communications Act. And I will say this too, there are many that think Jack Smith was inappropriately placed in his role as special counsel. The Senate never voted on this, and the president doesn't have the power to just go name somebody as a special counsel, which is what Joe Biden and Merrick Garland, as the attorney general, did in putting Jack Smith in as a special counsel. The other thing is when they issued the subpoena for our phone records, Jack Smith went so far as to place an NDO, a non-disclosure order, on top of the subpoena so that we would never, ever find out that our records had been taken by the Biden DOJ, that we were spied upon and our communications were spied upon.
Senator, shoot me straight on this. Do you think we can punish these people hard enough that the next time we get some Democrat regime where we have filthy communists like Lisa Monaco involved in things, yeah, they'll maybe be too afraid to do this again? Because you're not going to appeal to the morality of these people. You have to make them afraid. Can we punish them to the point they will be afraid to do this again?
I think Jack Smith should be in jail. What he did to President Trump and President Trump's family, what he did in violating the law and the protections around senators' ability to have that speech and debate privilege, what he did in violating the precedent of not having a non-disclosure order on records of members of Congress. All of those are statutorial violations and constitutional protections that are there. And Jesse, I think that there are people from Jack Smith's team that probably should be following him into court. And I think it would be a victory for free speech and for individual rights and privacy for Jack Smith to be found guilty of having violated those rights.
Senator, are we going to be able to pass the SAVE Act? It doesn't sound good.
My hope is we can pass it. It's now the Save America Act. There are some of us who have worked on this now for, 3 years, trying to get it passed, and we certainly feel like that everyone should have to show an ID when they vote. And indeed, in Tennessee, we've been ranked as number one in election integrity. Our Secretary of State, Trey Hargett, does a great job on this. Mark Goins leads our election team in the state. They've worked diligently to make certain the rolls are cleaned up. We have voter ID in Tennessee, and we are ranked number one in fair, free elections.
Like your chances for governor next year because of that. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate it. All right. We have Light in the Mood coming up. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you Jack Smith is going to prison, because I don't believe that. Look, I hope I'm surprised. I don't believe that. But if we can start dragging these people into court, putting them through the legal process, the legal fees, the stress that comes with it, maybe that's enough. Because you and I both know the next time they take power, we know they're going to go all in. I want you to go all in at jessekelly.com. I'm just kidding. You don't have to go all in. You just go to jessekelly.com and put in your email address. We're going to send you a book. A booklet, probably, to be fair. It's 93 pages. It's the little red book I wrote. Just basic thoughts on where we're at as a country and as a culture. I think you'll enjoy it. Your emails certainly show that you are enjoying it. I'm glad. And I'm glad you're finding out it was not some scam. Just put in your email address. We'll send it to you. JesseKelly.com. We'll be back. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And I got to give credit to Megyn Kelly's team for putting this together. Listen, I want to explain something to you. Don't be miserable. Politics, especially because we have this horrible, horrible, nasty culture war going on, if you allow it to consume you, it can make you miserable. If you find yourself texting friends and family members at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night about the latest political scandal, you got a problem. Put your phone down. And if you don't, then what's going to happen is as you get older, you'll get more and more and more and more and more miserable. And then eventually you're going to get to a place where you're just bitter. Would you like to see the side-by-side Megyn Kelly's team created of someone like J.D. Vance versus someone like Michelle Obama? Here it is.
There are certainly sacrifices that come along with this life.
Our kids are little.
We're going to have to move.
There are also a lot of good things.
It's expensive to live in the White House.
What a blessing it is to be here.
There were moments when I didn't feel like I got enough attention.
We live in this beautiful, very protected mansion that the American people have gifted us.
Many people don't know. I mean, much is not covered.
Most of our meals are prepared for us, so we don't have to worry as much about cooking.
You're paying for every food, every bit of food that you eat.
There are a lot of things that in some ways make having a baby easier.
How do you raise kids in the White House? It's dangerous.
You don't have to worry about TSA lines when you're the vice president. Air Force Two makes transportation pretty easy.
We had to pay for their travel to be on the plane.
My attitude towards kids.
They're a hassle.
What the hell have we gotten ourselves into? No more kids.
They mess you up.
Then we had a second, then we had a third, and now both of us are just like, what's one more?
Whatever.
BJD. I'll see you tomorrow.